Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9, let's just read the first two verses here. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." And he gives more detail there. But turn one more chapter. Let's read the first two verses of Luke chapter 10. "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that the Spirit of God would reach into the hearts. Please touch my mind. Please quicken me according to what I believe that you've given me to say. Please help me first, but please give understanding to those listening. And we're careful to lift up Jesus, to magnify Jesus, to point people to Jesus. And as John the Baptist said, that I would decrease, because Jesus is the one that we're trying to increase. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, or always, even unto the end of the world." So we see in Luke that he called his 12 disciples. Those were the ones he called first. They were with him 3.5 years. After the resurrection, they were apostles, not disciples only. There were the 12 in the book of Acts chapter 1. Judas was gone. They appointed Matthias, I think his name was. Through history, we understand the history of the early church. There were about 18 to maybe 24 all told apostles. We're guessing, depending on who counts. And obviously all those guys are dead. But it starts here, my sermon, in Luke chapter 9. It says that he called these 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. Dunamis and exousia, the Greek words, over all devils. And now, you know, this is 21st century. Everybody knows there's no such thing as ghosts and spirits and, you know, demons that don't exist. Well, we think. They're there. All you have to do is look maybe in world affairs. A nut job over in Iran, if he ain't got a devil, I don't know who does. But power, God's power, and God's authority. Remember, we're his ambassadors. We have his authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for insurance, what have you. I'm grateful for the things that we have. I've used medicine on the mission field. I've passed out the various drugs that are necessary to take care of the amoebas that people will get when they drink bad water. I've also prayed, laid hands on sick folks, and they walked away healed. Not afraid of medicine, but I do believe in the power of God. But it says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's our duty, to preach the kingdom of God. We understand Jesus came the first time, he's coming back the second, and we must be ready. Don't know when that day is going to be, but he's coming back. It's a certainty. And anyhow, every day men die in their sins and end up in hell. The 12 disciples, 12 apostles, but the next chapter he appointed other 70 also. Because, hey, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And as he's commissioning these other guys, y'all go with the apostles, what have you. As you go, and I think the command is for today to pray that God would send other laborers into the harvest field. Because there's 7 billion people on the earth or just about. A whole lot of them don't know God. Probably 3/4 don't know God. And God is not willing that any should perish. But the title of my message today is God-Ordained Ministry. But he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we have a two-pronged charge, I guess, or approach, or what have you. Maybe I made that metaphor wrong. But we're to win souls. We must be about the Father's business. We must rescue the perishing. We must leave the 99 and go after the one that's lost. But when they get saved, we have to make disciples. We have to teach them. It's okay, fine, you're saved, great. Now, you know, you don't know what to do and just live your life any way you want. Now, we have to instruct them. Paul talks and others talk incessantly about sanctification. Okay, you're saved, that's great. Now what do you do? Well, let's learn about the things of God. Let's study his word. Let's come to Sunday school or whatever. Let's learn about the things that God has done for us and the things God expects of us. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll go through the whole thing if I can. I therefore, Paul is speaking, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, he's an apostle. At times, he calls himself an apostle. At times, servant. But here, he says he's the prisoner of the Lord. Ephesians is one of the prison epistles. He was in prison for the faith. But he says, okay, fine, I'm a prisoner. Well, let me be a prisoner for God. Whatsoever state I'm in, I'm happy, he said. Rich, poor, don't matter. I'm going to live for God regardless. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Whatever God calls you to do in the church or out of the church or whatever, be faithful. Do it unto God. If you're on the job, then live, or rather work, as though God is the boss, not that guy that signs the check every Friday. If you're in the ministry, then let's walk worthy of the ministry. But he says, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, we're going to come back to that, but he's not boasting of himself. He's not hooking his thumbs and saying, hey, I'm the apostle, do what I say. He says, I'm a prisoner, and I'm full of lowliness and meekness and long suffering, put up with those guys, would have you, forbearing, you know, let the other guy go first, would have you, in love. But he says, I beseech you, us, those he's writing to live that way. Not in pride, not trying to be first, but willingly putting up with people that you don't like or what have you, or meekness, what have you, not saying, look at me, but, you know, I'm not the one that matters, you're the one that matters. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's all about God, but he lives in you. We've talked about that, that we're the tabernacle of the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within you. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. How that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? In other words, Jesus died on the cross for us, and they put him in that borrowed tomb. He descended, but then we know he rose from the dead. But it says that he ascended, and we understand that he even went up on high. He went to heaven. That's in Acts chapter 1. We read of that. But it says that he gave gifts unto men. We understand that also in the book of Acts, and matter of fact, that very same passage, he said that the Spirit of God would descend. Jesus went up, but sometime later, the Spirit of God descended. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we can read about it. They all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that he calls us to be witnesses for God in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. It's our job to do what he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and Luke chapter 10, verse 1, and Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, to go out, to win souls, and to make disciples. Okay, fine, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift that came from on high. We understand that, but let's look at what else he said. Verse 11, again, of Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking of gifts, he gives gifts. It says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Again, we talked about, okay, you're saved. Now let's learn what it means to be a Christian, learn how to live. You're to be perfected. And for the work of the ministry, the second goal here, to empower the minister, to empower the deacon, to empower the guy that passes out tracts on the street corner, what have you. And for the edifying of the body of Christ, that third task that is listed. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we're to grow, we're to be taught. We, us, 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, all the Christians that ever lived, were to be taught. Because one day Jesus is coming back. And we have this earthly body, but one day in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it says that this body is going to be sown in weakness, or in other words, we're going to die, but it'll be raised in power and glory. In other words, we'll get a new body one day. We won't have to struggle against sin one day. We won't have to worry about, can I pay the rent one day. We're going to be in a mansion one day. We're going to walk on streets of gold one day. You're going to sit beside that river of life one day. But to look at this list, and I understand that there was a question about it, but let's look at the list and let's explain the list. And he gave some, in verse 11, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, you can count five, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but if you look at the phrasing, the last two were lumped together, and there's a reason for that. But let's look at what these offices are. The apostles, we understand the 12 apostles and they're sent. And that's the main goal of any minister, is to be sent. But an apostle is, like I said, the word Greek means to be sent. Maybe there's apostles today, maybe there's not, I don't know, but I know that the work of the apostle, you can look, in fact, in the back of my Bible, I can turn to it, I've got a bunch of maps here, and it'll talk about Abraham and what have you in the temple, but then I get over here and it talks about the missionary journeys of Paul. Probably your Bible has the same thing. Missions work. Is every missionary an apostle? No, I guess not, but that's what the apostles did. They were sent out by the Lord. We have denominations, missions groups, what have you, missionary societies in the old days that sent out people, called of God. They were sent out to India, to Africa, to South America, to wherever in the world. They were sent out to people that didn't know anything about God to try and win the lost. Again, you can soul win on the corner, that's fine, but these are people that went out to different countries and what have you. The next office is the prophet. There's a little bit mentioned of prophets in the New Testament. You can look, for instance, at Agabus. Agabus is mentioned a couple of times, and it's said that he told the future. He told what would come. He told about a famine or whatever it was in the book of Acts. And he told Paul, hey, you know, you're going to be bound and sent to Rome. And he said, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's what God called me to do. I'm ready to go and ready to give my life for God if necessary. A prophet, you can read in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, what have you, stuff like that. They do what may seem strange, but it's special insight that is gotten from God about the future or about a special insight about something that's happening. We don't have many prophets today, but they probably exist, I suppose. The next gift is the evangelist. He wins souls. The word evangelist means to preach the gospel. We know the gospel is good news, and again, we need to do that. We need to be about the Father's business. But his message, his office, his task is, that's what he's supposed to do. He's the one that God anoints especially to win souls and to tell others about the Lord. Then the fourth and fifth, again, you can lump it together or not, whatever you want to, however you want to look at it, but the pastor and the teacher, again, we're sent out, given authority in Luke chapter 9 and 10 and again in Matthew to go out and win the lost. Once we win souls, the other thing I said is we need to make disciples. And the guys in the local church, the pastor, the Sunday school teachers, what have you. Again, these different offices, they're different functions and different tasks that they're supposed to do. The Sunday school teacher, I mean, I've made a couple of missionary trips, I guess, but the Sunday school teacher, you won't find him somewhere down in Africa. You'll find him in the Sunday school room. That's his job. And the pastor and teacher, again, they're lumped together, but their job is to tend to the local flock. The pastor is the one that's, I guess, in charge. He's the one that gives the message on Sunday morning. He's the one that runs the church and labors in prayer for his flock. He's the one that when the phone call rings at 2 a.m, he gets up, puts his pants on, and goes to the hospital, what have you. But there are others in the church that have the task of teaching. Now, the pastor can teach. I suppose that's fine, but in many churches, there's the Sunday school teachers. There's also in Bible colleges, there are people that are assigned the instructors. their teachers. But again, it's a ministry to the local church, essentially. You've won the soul, now let's make him a disciple. But let's go on. The reason for these gifts, these ministry offices, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Well, there's nobody like that in our church. Well, you know, we don't think of that, but the fact is, there are people that are sent by Satan to deceive. Some of them have suits and a little name tag, and they knock on the door, and you know those guys. We know that those are members of a cult. We understand that. But you turn on so-called Christian television, and there are others that teach a different gospel. They have different winds of doctrine. You know, you're standing outside, and it's a little windy, and there's a little gust of wind, and that was nice, and man, it's hot, and then comes another gust of wind. Well, doctrine or false doctrine is kind of like that. Every once in a while, somebody comes up with something, and it kind of blows through the church for a few years. And you kind of get tired of that one, and somebody will come up with another false doctrine, and it'll blow through the church, you know. It's a metaphor. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, and they lie in wait to deceive. Again, Christian so-called television, the prosperity gospel. Let's just start with that one, I suppose. It's wrong. It's a gospel of greed. It's a gospel of, well, you know this stuff about Paul saying lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, and we're going to turn over later and talk about suffering and doing without, patiently waiting for God to deliver. The idea of patience, the idea of doing without, the idea of suffering or giving to the poor or those that don't have anything, you don't hear that message taught on the greed gospel preacher's radio or TV program. It's not their message. And again, I've said it many, used the verse many times before. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 said, if they don't speak according to this word, Holy Bible, there's no light in them. There's just none. They're lying in wait to deceive. They're crouching in the bushes, and they're preaching things that are not right. You know, it doesn't make me happy to talk about things that are wrong in the church. Don't enjoy it, really. But I see things that are scary, and I see things that are contrary to the things that Paul says that you've seen and heard in me and watched in me. He said, do those things. Paul would not be welcome on the platform of some of these teachers. There's an old doctrine, started about 100, well, maybe 80 years ago or something like that, called the Latter Rain Movement, and the sister false doctrine, I guess, is the Manifest Sons of God doctrine, and it's all false. We can go and take a look at who started them. We've got the documents you can still find on the internet, the documents that they came up with, the false teaching that they came up with. And in 1949, the Assemblies of God, they put out a position paper and said, hey, that stuff's wrong. And to the best of their ability, they kind of ran those kinds of teachers out. And I'm grateful for it. And everybody said, oh, well, you know, it's gone. Well, no. Because in the 70s, there was the shepherding movement, which came from the Manifest Sons of God teaching. Then there's the Kansas City Prophets, which is Latter Rain and Manifest Sons of God doctrine. Nowadays, that's kind of, you know, who knows about those guys anymore, but, you know, we know their names. You can go into Google, you can type in New Apostolic Reformation, you can see who came up with it. You can Google Kansas City Prophets, you can Google shepherding, You can Google these things. I don't have to call these guys' names that started it. You can Google it. But Toronto Blessing, it's foolishness, it's false. It did not tell people how to be disciples. Then it went down to Pensacola, and then some other stuff went to Lakeland, Florida, and now it's in Mobile, they tell me. G12, it's shepherding. It's pride. Cell ministry, it's not just a Bible study. There's other things that it's being pushed. The emergent church and so many other doctrines, when you compare them to the Word of God, they just don't line up. They just don't match up. I'm not happy saying all this stuff, but I'm less happy knowing that it's on TV and Christians are listening to it. It disturbs me. It hinders me. My job is to win souls and make disciples, but there are these other messages that are more flashy. And I can't promise you if you put $100 in an envelope, you'll get $10,000 back. I mean, if I go around promising that, I'd probably get a whole lot of envelopes with $100 in it. But it's not right. But let's move on a little bit, I suppose. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.